He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the June 30th. Hey, this is the halfway point of the year. Do you realize that? It's halftime. The quarter two ends for corporate America today, and earnings season will start all over again about 2 or 3 weeks. I am broadcasting live from Cincinnati today, beautiful Cincinnati on the Ohio River. Traveling yesterday, my wife and I are here to see our San Diego Padres, right in the hunt of a pennant this year, which happens about every 100 years. And the Padres have only been around for 69 years. The Reds have been around for 169 years. So kind of neat going to a different ballpark, visiting a historic town like Cincinnati. Okay, well, the market, you know, yesterday was the lowest volume day of the year for the SPY. I think everybody was traveling, getting ready for the big 4th of July weekend. But we do have a little uptick in the Dow today on a better-than-expected ADP jobs report. The Dow is up 70, 34,361. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, down about 24 points right now after hitting a new all-time high yesterday, though. So I don't want to hear any complaints. The NASDAQ's at 14,500. S&P is flat, totally flat today. Oil, I would say the oil stocks are the stars so far today. Oil's up 44 cents to 73.42. The 10-year yield sitting chilly. Wow, it's down to 1.44. I'm surprised that the tech stocks aren't kicking into gear here. 1.45 now, and that Bitcoin crypto down $1,600 per coin to 34,719. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, live from Cincinnati on the shores of the Ohio River, overlooking the Great American Ballpark, home of the Cincinnati Reds. And just down the river, I mean, like, you know, within walking distance, they're very close together where the Cincinnati Bengals play. I still remember the Ice Bowl. That was when San Diego Chargers, my former beloved football team, before they moved to L.A., under Don Coryell, Air Coryell, Dan Fouts, all the great receivers that they had and the points they used to rack up. They came to Cincinnati in the AFL championship game to go to the Super Bowl, and they got to Cincinnati, and it was like 50 below zero with the wind chill factor. Dan Fouts' footballs felt like a rock when they hit those receivers. None of the receivers could hold on to the passes, and I think we lost 7-0, something like that. Otherwise, the Air Coryell high-powered offense would have went to the Super Bowl, the thriller in Cincinnati. I remember a song, "We're Going to Cincinnati, Bring Your Flannel Jammy." Well, not this time of year. It's pretty warm here this time of year. Okay, you know what? Yesterday, it was all about, there were some impressive stocks that I would like to point out to you. You know, even when I'm traveling, I am looking at charts every chance I get, and I looked at a lot of charts. A couple things that really stood out to me in yesterday's trading, which was actually a very, very dull day. Yesterday, the SPY ETF had its lowest volume day of the year so far this year, I think a lot of people leaving early to get a seat for the fireworks this weekend. I guess, I don't know. They could be on Saturday. They could be Sunday. I don't know. In our neighborhood, they're on Saturday, July the 3rd. We'll be firing some up from our dock, though, all weekend long. We've got some interesting action in the market yesterday. The the Asian stocks, the Chinese stocks in particular, now, they've been down and out for quite some time. I'm talking Alibaba. I'm talking PDD. I'm talking JD.com, JD. I'm talking Data Nexus, DADA. And even some of the Chinese solar stocks, they are really heating up. I would keep an eye on that. I'm definitely keeping an eye on those Chinese stocks. Another stock that really stood out to me yesterday is one that we've bought recently within the last couple of weeks, and so far I'm happy. AMD had a fantastic day yesterday, and I would notice having another good day today. And it got approval in the in Europe for its buyout of, is it Analog Devices they're buying or Xilinx? I can't remember which one, but they did get approval, and that really helped the stock, and the stock seemed to be in rally mode again. eBay had a good day. I couldn't quite figure out why. What is going on with eBay? In fact, a funny phenomenon taking place with, I suppose, the spike around the world in COVID. We're seeing a rebound, a strong rebound, a hot, hot rally in the work-from-home stocks, go figure. Peloton, DocuSign, Zoom, Info, and eBay was one of those, obviously. Etsy had a big day last couple of days. Fiverr had a big day. Upwork. So whether that's a sustainable move, you know, these 1-2 day, 1 week moves, they're hard to play. You know, we're looking for bigger trends than that. And it's a market where for a few days you'll get the reflation stocks leading the way, and then the tech stocks will lead the way. I still think kind of a balanced attack right now. Interest rates are dropping here. You would think the NASDAQ would kick into gear, but it's not really. The other area that was pretty strong yesterday were the solar stocks. The solar stocks had a very good day yesterday, but we did see new highs by 1 point. The S&P 500 hit a new high yesterday, and the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high today, peeling back just a little bit here, though, today. The pandemic woes continue to weigh on the global stock markets. You know, I'm not really seeing the pandemic coming back here or spiking in the U.S., but you go to Europe, I suppose, that's where they're having the most problems. Paris down 1.1%. Germany down 1.2%. Germany, what they lost to England, didn't they, in that soccer match? I watched the Switzerland and France. Switzerland upsetting France the night before. That's some pretty good soccer. They take their soccer seriously across the pond. Let's see. China was up 0.5%. Like I say, keep your eye on those Chinese stocks and the Taiwan. And the Singapore, let's just call it the Asian region. In fact, BlackRock is now saying to look outside the U.S. for the next equity rally. Well, I'm kind of doing that, to be honest with you. It seems like the area where there isn't any spike whatsoever in COVID seems to be in Asia. They've got a cheaper market over there. They have a lower tax rate, and ours would look to be going higher, and that's all kind of helping the Asian stocks, which, you know what, I've made a lot of money in the Asian stocks. You kind of have to be timing them right. They have not had a good 6 months, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. It began when China started cracking down on Jack Ma and his Ant Financial, which he was going to spin off from Alibaba. He disappeared. You know, you don't want to speak out against the Chinese Communist Party. You might disappear for a while, come back with a few bruises and whatnot. But anyways, the Chinese stocks are starting to kick in again. Now, here's the reason why the Dow is up today. Private payrolls gained 978,000 in May. That's pretty good. Now, that's the ADP jobs report. That's the precursor to the big jobs report on Friday. That will be highly watched because that's going to impact what the Fed does. It's going to impact inflation. It's going to impact the economy. So we'll keep our eye on the big non-farm payrolls report, which will come in on Friday. But that ADP report, better than expected today, and helping the Dow to about a triple-digit gain while the NASDAQ down 30. So, you know, I'm seeing strength in the reflation stocks today. I'm seeing some strength in the Chinese stocks. And the sector of the day so far, oil and gas. We've done well there with some of our holdings. An area we haven't had much exposure to until fairly recently. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We got a lot of Bitcoin and digital stuff to talk about here today and a whole lot more. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the second quarter of 2021 comes to an end today. Tomorrow we turn the corner. We flip the page to July in the calendar, and that means that all of the companies will close their books today and start counting the money that came in and the money that went out. And how much was left over, and how much profit was made, or how big the loss was. And that will be compared, of course, with the analyst expectations. You know, last year's comparable quarter, which was probably the most impacted quarter for COVID, the second quarter of last year, that would have been from you know, April 1st to June 30th of last year, where our economy was basically shut down in a lot of areas, people working from home, but anything like restaurants and theaters and cruise ships and airlines, they weren't doing much business. So we're going to have another really big quarter from a comparison point of view, but you have to remember there's going to be an asterisk next to that number because of the unusual, hopefully non-recurring event that occurred last year. I kind of wonder, though, about the mutations of COVID. Will it just keep mutating and into new strains? And you know, that's something you don't really want to think about, but we have seen this Delta strain. It doesn't seem to be any deadlier than the previous strain, but it does seem to be more contagious. Now, airports still requiring, it's the FAA still requiring face masks in the airports, and they watch pretty closely. And of course, on the airplane, they watch very closely. You don't want to remove your face mask on an airline or refuse to wear one. And there's not much in the way of stewardess or steward service. I got a little bottle of water. That was it. The guy threw it at me. He just missed my head. I caught it in midair. And that's about the service you get these days. There's no food service or anything like this on the planes these days. So if you're flying and you haven't flown for a while, there's what you can expect. I think that's my first flight since COVID happened. Speaking of the variants, the Delta variants, Moderna, it hit a new all-time high. You know what? I was onto Moderna very early in the process. I was talking about the kind of Harvard, very much related to Harvard College, Moderna, and you know, also France. Moderna reaches an all-time high yesterday as the vaccine shows effect against COVID-19 Delta variant. I said the other big player is going to be AstraZeneca, and those two stocks actually are hitting new highs right now. But you just wonder, you know, what does Moderna have after the COVID vaccine? And the other question you got to ask, will this be a big franchise going forward as they continue to, as it mutates and they come up with new vaccines against it? But right now I was just looking at Moderna in my app. The analysts expect 12% growth per year going forward. And the stock is currently trading at 12 times forward earnings. So it has a very favorable PEG ratio of 1 mRNA. But with only 12% growth, it has 66% upside potential. From a stock point of view, I like 80% or more. I guess the variants are the big wild card there for Moderna. And as far as the momentum goes, Moderna is up 260% over the last 12 months. That's an A-plus momentum grade. The market's up 38%. Moderna is currently ranked at number 1,172 out of 5,854. I would say it's more of a valuation issue. Right now, we have no exposure to mRNA. Demand continues to outpace supply, fueling the housing market to surge. You know, I did notice from the air, especially around Atlanta, a lot of grading, a lot of clearing. You got to clear first. There's a lot of trees around Atlanta and in the southeast. And I noticed a lot of grading, new housing going up. But there is an affordability factor right now, is the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is the sector that is probably most impacted in an inverse way to the Fed and any mention of interest rate hikes is the building, is the housing, the home building sector. And it's probably the most adversely impacted, while on the other side of the coin, rising interest rates are not happening yet, obviously, but the financials, in particular, the banks. And I would say this about the home building and the building sector, building supply stocks, that sector has really cooled off big time. I'm not seeing much in that sector. A lot of very poor stock charts. You know, I talk about that number one sideways chart, number two uptrend chart, number three topping out chart, and then I call it 3B when it starts to roll over, and number four is a downtrend. I'm seeing a lot of 3Bs in the home building and in the building sector, meaning they're kind of rolling over and pointing downwards. That's not a good place to be. I just thought I'd bring that up. And I'm seeing another area, the REITs, which have had a pretty good run, starting to enter into number three, tired out, topping out, potential rolling over correction types of trends. Well, the Reddit gang has a new one. I was looking at this stock yesterday. I go, why is this stock up 55% today? Reddit. Marin Software, M-R-I-N. But here's what you got to put up with if you're going to play those Reddit stocks. Marin is down 33% today. Ouch. That's a tough game to play. We had a positive development in a schizophrenia drug candidate yesterday. That would be, you know, I would hope that they can continue to make advances there. Cerevel, which is C-E-R-E, symbol C-E-R-E. It's a $3.6 billion biotech out of Massachusetts, which has really become a pretty hotbed for biotech. We've seen a lot of big winners come out of that Harvard, I guess, Ivy League corridor. Cerevel, C-E-R-E, was up 129%. Yesterday in a schizophrenia, early stage schizophrenia candidate showing some good positive results. This company is backed by Pfizer and Bain Capital. So that's some pretty good backing there B-I-L-L-C-E-R-E. This is B-I-L-L. We'll be right back. Second half of the Best Stocks Now show, and the second half of 2021 begins tomorrow. Can you believe it? We're halfway through the year. That's a big event in this industry. Every quarter, companies close their books. They report earnings. That will all start in about a little over 2 weeks. This is expected to be a blockbuster quarter, but we're up against very, very low comparisons, obviously, from a year ago's comparable quarter. However, it's all relative. If this quarter is supposed to be 61% better than the same comparable quarter last year, and it comes in at 80% better, you'll see a very strong market, which I would expect to have another very good quarter of earnings. Last quarter was sensational, one of the best quarters I've ever seen on a relative basis. You know, the earnings that came in really crushed the estimates. And by the time the quarter was over, the earnings estimates for this year, S&P 500 aggregate earnings, the earnings estimates for next year, S&P 500 aggregate earnings, and even 2024 went up quite a bit. And if you've listened to my show for any period of time, you know that I consider the best indicator for the market to be earnings expectations. And the one that most analysts watch is the S&P 500 aggregate earnings expectation, which changes, you know, every week it changes a little bit. And there's definitely been a very strong upwards move in earnings expectations because of the powerful quarter we had, which was Q1 of 2021. And now we're closing the books on Q2 of 2021, which will be compared with this same quarter last year. I'm expecting another good quarter of earnings. And I also want to let my live traders know, I'm going to be very busy in the trading pits today. It's going to be a lot of, I spent yesterday really lining up and zeroing in and narrowing down a lot of trades. Some of the themes I was playing have changed here recently. The building sector has definitely slowed down quite a bit. The auto sector has also cooled off quite a bit. And, you know, the value stocks, I've probably 50-50 value versus momentum / growth right now. Some of the value stocks and sectors haven't really panned out. You know, I would say the biggest unexpected factor we've seen in the last month or two, lower interest rates. That's pretty shocking after what we saw in February. We had an interest rate shock, and it looked like they were just going to keep moving higher, didn't they? And it caused a 35% sell-off in the momentum sector. Well, I saw that coming. I got out of the way. I took a lot of huge profits, and I parked it in value until the storm passed. I didn't know about interest rates, whether they were going to go back down. I didn't really think they would, so I kind of sat chilly for a little while in my value stocks. And then I started to see interest rates coming down. I started to get back into some of those growth / momentum names. Not the really high growth momentum stuff, but, you know, high enough. And it's paid off so far. And I'm going to make quite a few changes today and tomorrow in the trading pit. So if you're a live trading subscriber, I send out emails and push notifications to my Apple subscribers, live trading. Every time I make a trade, there it is. There's a message from Bill Gunderson, along with other messages that I send out throughout the day These are trades that I'm making in my money management. That's what I do for a living for the most part, besides watching Padre baseball from time to time. It's tough on the East Coast. They play at 7 p.m. on the West Coast. I'm not watching those 10 p.m. games. But my wife and I have done a little traveling. She especially, she's a bigger Padre fan than I am. She saw the no-hitter in Houston, the only no-hitter in the history of the Padres. No-no Joe, they call him, Joe Musgraves. He's pitching tonight if it doesn't rain here in Cincinnati. Okay, how's your local restaurant? How are the independents doing? I continue to hear of labor shortages, not only at restaurants. I had a tire that was leaking air very slowly. I take it to my local Firestone store. We can look at it in 2 weeks. Hell, that doesn't really help. In 2 weeks, it'll be flat, buddy. Well, they can't find help. Restaurant industry labor is running at 88% of the level of 2019, even as consumer demand approaches pre-pandemic levels. Well, a lot of the younger workers, from what I understand, one problem is the extended benefits for unemployment. But even in the states that are now saying, hey, we don't want the extended benefits, they're still having a problem because a lot of the younger workers have gone to the gig economy that promotes flexibility. You know, that's drivers for Uber and drivers for Lyft. Is, you know, that portion's picking up again. But the restaurants are packed. That's what I'm seeing. Everywhere I go, I see packed restaurants. And they continue to have trouble attracting workers. A lot of news today in the Bitcoin arena. U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis, Republican from Wyoming, encourages people to buy Bitcoin for their retirement. Well, okay, I'm a professional money manager. I meet with a lot of people. Barry's a chartered financial analyst and a chartered CFP, Chartered Financial Planner. I wonder what Barry has to say about buying Bitcoin for retirement. Now, she's not saying to put all your retirement, but she is saying that she's encouraging average investors to purchase Bitcoin as part of their retirement strategy. She said this on CNBC yesterday. And she's also pushing for the Federal Reserve to launch its own digital currency. Now, that wouldn't be good for Bitcoin, I don't think. I think a competitor from the government would be very dangerous for the private digital. She argued that this would help keep the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Well, I saw a member of the Fed, Quarles, the day before, saying he's totally against the idea of having a digital dollar. Well, Senator Lummis, Republican from Wyoming, she sees it as a hedge against inflation, saying there's no way we cannot debase the U.S. dollar over time. Well, I agree with that. Is Bitcoin the hedge? I don't know about that. But anyways, that's what she thinks. And like I say, meantime, Randall Quarles, who's vice chair for supervision of the Fed, said, I don't like that whole crypto digital currency idea. Now, this is a debate worth watching for sure. Will we have a digital dollar at some point in time? I think the answer is yes. And that's one of the reasons why I worry about Bitcoin, which has lost half of its value since March, let's not forget. Yesterday, it did rally back above its 50-day moving average. I mentioned that as I looked at the charts of the market yesterday, the action was really centered in just a few areas. It was the Chinese stocks, the Bitcoin-related stocks, and the solar stocks. But today we're seeing those stocks like Coinbase and MicroStrategy and Marathon Digital and Riot Blockchain, etc. They seem to be selling off here today. In the meantime, the race for a Bitcoin ETF continues. You know how many have been submitted now? 13 different companies, including Kathy Wood's ARK. She wants a Bitcoin ETF. You got Invesco, you got VanEck Funds, you've got Galaxy Bitcoin, First Trust, Wisdom Tree, all the big players. But not one has been approved yet. No Bitcoin ETFs. There is a trust, GBTC, the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which also has an Ethereum trust. And then, as I mentioned the other day, we saw somebody file, I think it was VanEck, for a Bitcoin mutual fund. But no approvals yet. Let's see. Kathy Wood has a $500,000 price target for Bitcoin. How does she come up with that? I don't know. It's $32,000 now. That's all I can say. Maybe I should put all my retirement in Bitcoin. Well, one more opinion on Bitcoin. What do the institutions think of it? Then I've got my featured stock of the day, and it's a humdinger. This is Bill Gunnarsson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow's improved here. We're up 145. We're starting to surge here overall. A couple of stocks really helping us. The action today kind of centered around the oil and gas stocks and a few other individual names are helping the market here today. And I've got a featured stock for you that is really surging. Wow. I'm happy with that one, which we own here at Gunnarsson Capital, Southport Capital. A few other names I wanted to mention. Oh, I know what I wanted to mention. J.P. Morgan's analyst on the digital currency. He says that institutional interest in Bitcoin. Now, this is not good. All right. If you own Bitcoin, institutional interest has dried up. So, you know, they're all clamoring to get an ETF, but that's for the little guys, the individual investors, not for the big institutions. Now, he was on with CNBC yesterday. He says there's also been a divergence that has developed between Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies like Ethereum. Right now, Bitcoin has about a 46% overall popularity and holdings of, when you look at all of the different digitals. 46% is Bitcoin. It was 60% at the beginning of April. He says that Bitcoin 50% or above is healthy. So it's got, not only does it have an unhealthy share of the overall digital currency market, but institutional interest. Now, that's big money managers and mutual funds and, hedge funds and big institutional banks, et cetera, has dried up and even turned negative. That's not a good sign. You know, you want, in fact, if you know what CANSLIM's all about, an acronym that is about momentum, the I in CANSLIM is institutional participation. Because when one of these big institutions climbs in, or several of them, they can really move things higher and they can really move things lower when they get out. The private investor, the individual investors, just don't have as much firepower as the big institution. So I'd say that's another big negative for Bitcoin right here. Okay, my featured stock of the day is AMD. AMD is surging. It looks like they're going to merge. Wow, look at that breakout today. Man, that was a good buy. I hope you're following me. I sent that one out, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, something like that, getting back into it. The first time I got into AMD, I made 450 or 500% on it. One of the biggest winners, one of the biggest turnaround plays of all time. AMD was a distant second to Intel for many, many years, and that all started to change about 3 or 4 years ago. AMD has eaten Intel's lunch over the last several years, clobbered it, and it is looking good again today. Now, AMD, I cashed in quite some time ago, and it went from 99 to 72. You remember that big tech sell-off earlier this year? So that was a 27% sell-off. It was part of that 35% sell-off in the momentum names, which AMD was one of. And I saw that coming. I got out of the way. I let it settle. And you know what I was waiting for? Well, I didn't think interest rates would come down like they did, but they did, okay? And I saw a trend change from down to sideways, that's a number one, and then starting to start new number two uptrends. And I started getting back into a lot of these growth names recently. AMD was one of them. It's having a huge day. That's our biggest winner. It's up 4.3% today. Not much is really moving today. AMD is moving us because we have a pretty big position in AMD. Why? Well, the valuation for one on AMD, I have a five-year target price on AMD There it is, $87 per share. No, that's not right. Advanced Micro Devices, five-year growth rate is 25%. My target price is $174. That gives it the potential to double. The PEG ratio is 1.29. That's pretty favorable for a large cap dominant company. They recently got a very good order, too. There's been a lot of good news on AMD recently. They got a huge order for, was it Amazon's web servers or Google? I can't remember. One of them. But it was a very, very big order. And they got European approval today. I think it's Xilinx that they're buying. AMD, a huge move today. Momentum grade is A. My value grade is A. The best stocks now, app.com, which ranks stocks, 5,854. AMD comes in at number 91, and we do have a very large position. It's not a dividend pair, so it's not in our dividend portfolio, growth and dividend, but it's in our premier growth portfolio. We'll make AMD our featured stock of the day. Well, if you'd like to put me and my team to work for you, we've got a whole bigger toolbox than we used to have now that we have combined with the Southport Capital. We've got boots on the ground, offices all across America, including one now in Sarasota. And I'll be having some of these folks on from some of these offices in future shows, but right now everything's kind of coming through Gunderson, the old Gunderson Capital, and my team. That will be remain that way for a while, and then we'll start branching out to some of the other branches, and they're also offering my portfolios that I run for Southport through their branches also. If you'd like to talk to us, we have a toll-free number, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. The other way to get a good feel for what I do with my team and my little slice of Southport Capital, I manage these six portfolios, and if you want to see how they've done and what we think, our macro outlook on the market, why not get 2 weeks free of my weekly newsletter that I've been writing for 21 years? Go to my website, GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Going to be busy trading today for all you live trading subscribers and clients. So keep an eye on me here today. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.